الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الدين عند الله الاسلام وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سبعه يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل الا ظله صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and brothers, we had been discussing for the past few weeks events and occurrences that will take place on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy and grace, through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has informed us what's going to happen in the Akhirat. It is not that we are left in the dark and we are not aware of what's going to happen, where we are heading to and where we are going. Every single day of ours takes us closer to the grave, and after the life and the grave, we know the alam-e barzakh. Thereafter is the Day of Judgment, wherein all of us will have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us and make decisions of khair and good for us on the Day of Judgment and enter us inshallah into paradise. But the different stages that were mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one stage was where the book of deeds will be put onto the scales, as I mentioned last week, and deeds of mankind will be weighed. Another stage was the bridge of Sirat that we will have to pass. We will total darkness therein, and we will require light. We had mentioned those amal that will bring us light on the Day of Judgment. Last week we had mentioned those amal that will make our amal, our book of deeds, heavy on the Day of Judgment. And just to recap, the idea is not only to inform us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me firstly the tawfiq and guidance to implement these amal in my life so that my deeds can be heavy on the Day of Judgment. We had mentioned that from amongst them was to read Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. Together with that, Subhanallah also fills up the scales, and Alhamdulillah also fills up the scales. Together with that, we had mentioned good akhlaq and good character is most heaviest on the scales. Together with that, we also mentioned to remain silent and not to speak unnecessarily also will become a means of great weight on the Day of Judgment on the scales. We also mentioned that the one person that will come on the Day of Judgment and he will find that the book of deeds are very light, the book of the pan of the scales of good deeds are very light, and then suddenly he'll find a cloud that will come and will come into the pan of scales and make it heavy. It will be told to him, this is the deen and iman that you have taught to other people, and they had benefited, and to the extent that they made amal on it, you are getting rewards. Together with that, we had mentioned the person who goes to the janazah, if a person attends the janazah and thereafter goes to him to the qabr for his burial, then there will be two qirat, and one qirat is equal to Mount Uhud. That amount of weight will be put onto the scales. We had also mentioned that if a person feeds his family and looks after the deeds of his family, this amal will also be weighed on the Day of Judgment. And also we had mentioned that the scholar, the ink of the scholar will be more heavier than the blood of the martyr on the Day of Judgment. Together with that, we had mentioned an incident where a person, in the form of a container, something had come onto the scales. It was told to him, this is the sand that you had thrown in into the grave of your Muslim brother when he had passed away. This had made it heavy. And we had also mentioned that reading durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a small piece of paper put by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the pan of scales of that person on the side of his good deeds, and this became heavy. And that was the barakah of reading durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So may Allah give me and all of us the tawfiq to, at least if not all, some of those actions we can begin to practice and implement it in our lives. Things like reading Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, very simple and very easy, and yet they will weigh heavy on the Day of Judgment. And this is the object that we acquaint ourselves with these amal and we make due preparations. Another event to take place on the Day of Judgment is this, that a person will come on the Day of Judgment when the sun will be very close. And according to the riwayats, a person will be immersed in his perspiration, some even right up to the chin, some up to the waist, some up to the knees, some up to the feet, etc., because of the extensive heat and the great heat, the heat of the sun that will be so close. We all know the heat that we experience with the sun is over 150 million kilometers away from us, and we experience the heat. What will be the position when the sun is so close? This is described by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith as well. But together with that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has showed us those a'mal through which a person carrying it out, he will get the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that day, there will be no arsh. That on that day, when there will be no shade, there will be no shade for a person except the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then that day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned seven such actions or seven categories of people who will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us and the entire ummah a shade, a place in the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first person Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in this hadith is that leader and that ruler of the mu'mineen that is completely just. He stands up to justice despite his great position. He is the ruler and leader of the country, but he practices justice in all his decrees and all his decisions. He is not biased. He does not abuse his power and do what he feels like. But some say because of the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some say because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he applies the rules and he practices extreme justice in all his affairs. Here, it's not only restricted to this ruler, though the ruler is mentioned, but in the light of the other hadith is mentioned, in al-muqsitin, those people that exercise justice, those people before whom decisions come, can be a qazi, can be even every person who decides as far as his wife and children are concerned. Some commentators even write a woman that exercises justice between her children. And we know on many occasions, a woman has to make a decision and decree regarding her children. Then she does not give preference over one over the other, but she is extremely just. She also will be included here. And that qazi also will be included, who decides in the matters of the mu'mineen and believers. And that father also that decides with regards to his children and his family and his wife, he will be also included here. If he practices justice, then for him also there is a place under by the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be cautious when it comes to making decisions. We should not become biased and we should not be influenced by people and places and things and positions, but we should be extremely just. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuhibbul muqsitin, likes those people that are just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just himself. Inna Allah la yazdaw mithqala dharra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not oppress a person even to the tiniest, but even to a slightest degree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely just, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes justice. So in all our decrees, we should also practice justice so that we can also find a place, inshallah, under the arsh, under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second person mentioned here is that young person, shabun nasha'a fi ibadati rabbi or fi ibadati Allah. That youngster that grows up, that is nurtured in the ibadat, in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here again, we go out and congratulate and salute those parents that are concerned about their children, about the tarbiyat of the children, the upbringing of their children, about the children's education, about the children's companionship, about the children's environment, where they go to, and safeguard them at all levels. They are concerned about the proper upbringing of their children. Those children should be completely obedient and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that these parents of ours are concerned about us. They are concerned about our akhlaq and character. They are concerned about our mahal, where we go, and about our friends. They are concerned about our ibadat and our proper upbringing and worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In reality, they are securing for us a place in the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. There's a great boon in favor of the parents on the children. And on the side of the children, they should abide and become obedient to the parents at all times. Imagine, shabun nasha fi ibadatillah, so much liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that young person that is nurtured and brought up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a place in the shade of his arsh on the day of judgment. And this is a very privileged provision that has been given to that place. Imagine when the entire creation, awwaleen and akhirin, assembled on one side, on the other side this person is called up and given this esteemed position, this privileged position, that he is under the arsh of the arsh, under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet on the same time, when we look around in our community, in our society, we find 100 and 1,000 and 1,000,000 regrets upon those people that leave their children loose. That leave their children loose and make them attend such schools and such environments which is completely un-Islamic or anti-Islamic. Go to schools that are white schools, so to say, and we know the culture of these people that do not have iman. And very slowly we find those very children that were brought up here in our homes and our environments in such a nice place, we find they're slipping into all forms of vices, all forms of evil. Why? Because we have left them in that environment. You can get the most greatest of saints and you put them in those environments. They are also endangered. And not say they will deter and move away from the right path, but they are also endangered by their environment. Here we take our young children, daughters and sons, that are not even sound as far as Islamic education is concerned. They are not even consolidated and strong as far as the Islamic beliefs are concerned. And we throw them into these schools and these environments. And the results are there that we see every day. Every day we see these results. Some children are drinking, some children are drugging, some children are doing these things that go to these environments. This is not something startling or surprising. This is the end result of those environments that we are sending our children to. One parent tells me, surprisingly, that our parents are very proud about this, that we send our children to such schools. They are very proud about this, that they are going to such schools that are recognized schools. They will get good education. Person can get the best of education, but if he endangers the iman, the character, the akhlaq of his children, then he is doing a disfavor to his son and to his daughter. So we should wake up. We should wake up to the reality of things and see, what do we require? We require our children to get the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how will that be? Shabun nasha fi ibadati rabbi or fi ibadati Allah. That youngster that is engaged and spends his life and is nurtured and brought up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's paband with his salat, he's paband with the recitation of the Holy Quran, he has akhlaq and morals with him, and then we can say, yes, this person now is being nurtured in the ibadat and in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the second category. And the third category was that person whose heart is linked to the masjid. رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. The person whose heart is linked to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the call that has been made, that come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend your time in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Attend the gatherings of the ulama-i kiram, the majalis of zikr and the waaz, etc. Come to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where you'll find the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where is wherein lies the rectification of the life of a mu'min when he attends the masjid and he frequents the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that person whose heart is linked to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, obviously, it is impossible for a person, or Islam does not demand from us that we sit into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the morning till the evening. But yes, our hearts are linked to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm coming out from there now after Jummah. When will I get back there? He eagerly and earnestly waits for that time to get back into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Mufti, in fact, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi writes, those people that wait, come to the house of Allah and wait for the salat. This is what is meant. Their houses are linked to their hearts are linked to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they wait for one salat to the other salat. They are waiting to get back into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surprisingly, in one riwayat is mentioned, those people that look at their watches all the time and want to go back to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are also from those people that will have the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. The fourth category is those people that love two Muslim brothers, that love each other only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not know this brother, but he is pious, he is carrying out good deeds, and he is busy in the service of deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our heart is attracted towards him. We love him only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He belongs to a different culture, different color, and different background, but he is pious. And because of that, or he is an alim of deen, or he is serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will love him for that sake. And some say, no, we love the Muslim brother only for the sake of Allah. He is a Muslim brother and we love him. He is a Muslim brother and because of the sake of Allah, I love this Muslim brother. I have no relationship with him. I do not know him from anywhere. But because he is a Muslim, I love him. There is no worldly motive for my loving him that I will benefit in some way from this brother or I'll get some gain from this brother. No, no matter. And as the Shaykh Zakaria writes, irrespective of that person's attitude towards us, even if he is bad towards us, we still love him because we love him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's zat is there at all time. It doesn't change, it doesn't move. We do not love him because of the favors he does to me. I love him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I have to not love him and have ill feeling towards him, that is also for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't love him because of some actions that he has carried out or because he has become murtad from the deed, etc. Then those places that Allah has ordered us not to love that Muslim, that brother, I don't love him because of the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ijtama'a alayhi wa tafarraqa alayhi. Their love is suspended with the order of Allah. They love each other with the order of Allah. If they happen to break the relationship, it's because of the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person also will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fifth person that is mentioned here, this hadith is that person, that a woman of standing and high standing in society, the woman of beauty in society called him towards evil, and he says, "Inni akhafullah," says, "I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Either she calls him verbally, or either she calls him by in a subtle manner, and she entices him and wants to seduce him in different methods, in different ways, and he says, "I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala," and he stays away from the sin of zina. That person also, this action of his maintaining his chastity and purity, is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that he is given that esteemed position on the day of judgment of the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we find staying away from vice, staying away from evil, staying away from immorality, staying away from those obscenities that are present, especially in our society, is a great fail, is a great quality of a mu'min. And he stays away from zina, and all those actions that lead towards zina, he stays away. Here again, we should be cautious. We shouldn't frequent some such places where there's immorality, where it is common and armed where these sins take place. Ourselves and our wives, our children, all of us should stay away from these places, because a person who goes to the places of sin, then very easily he falls into the sin. Man hamiya hawla al-hima yushaku wa yuwaqi'a fi, person that's grazing around a pasture that's not permissible, very easily fall therein. So we should be far away from such places and such areas and such places, even if they are in the name of entertainment, the name of holidaying, etc. We should not go to such places, abstain and stay away from those places. The sixth person that is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that person that gives charity. He gives charity with his right hand, and he gives it in such a discreet manner that his left hand does not know what his right hand has given. Now this is an expression. Both the hands are before a person. This is an expression to show the extent of how discreet it should be, how secretly this person should give that with one hand gives, the right hand gives, the left hand does not even know. In other words, he gives it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for name, not for fame, not for popularity, not that his name must be right on the top of the list, then nor does he go around advertising his good deeds or advertising the charity that he has given. He has given so much for so and so. No, he has given it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of his action. Otherwise, he gives this for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, and not because of any name and fame. This person also, this high level of ikhlas is so much appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is given that distinguished position, that esteemed position on the day of judgment. And the last person mentioned in this category that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, is that person that remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rajulun dhakara Allah khaliyan. He remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in isolation. He is sitting one side alone, and he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fafadat ayna. And thereafter he begins to tear, and he begins to cry and weep, out of, he's so anxious to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The longing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so much, the love of Allah is so much, that he begins to cry and weep. Some commentators say, no, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is overwhelmed with the fear of Allah, the greatness and qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he begins to weep. He's sitting there in solitude, but he weeps because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last week there was one hadith that we had missed out, where Jibreel alayhi salam had come and he found one person weeping. He had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him that all the amal of the mu'min are weighed except one deed, that is weeping for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One tear is so powerful of a mu'min that it extinguishes the wildest of fires of Jahannam. The seven oceans put together cannot extinguish the fire of Jahannam, but one tear that comes out, a tiny tear that comes out from the heart of a, comes out from the eye of a mu'min because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will extinguish the fire of Jahannam. So here this person that weeps out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we had mentioned last week the amal in deen that we get rewarded over and over again. There it will extinguish the fire of Jahannam. Here the effect of that will be, the reward is mentioned to us, that person that fears Allah, remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cries out of the fear of Allah or out of the love of Allah, then what happens? Then this person is exalted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and given that extreme position on the day of judgment. These are the seven amals that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions to us if we wish to secure a place on the day of judgment in the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill the graves of the muhaddiseen. They had gone into all the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayh, in one of the commentaries that he writes on one book of hadith, he mentions this amount, up to 90 persons that will get the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, searching in all the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Though some ahadith are mentioned to be weak, but the commentators mention that they are acceptable as far as the virtues are concerned. And among those 90 amals, obviously it is difficult for us to mention all those 90 here, but there are many great amals there that are very, very simple, wherein the promise is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for us to secure a place in the shade of the arch of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where many of us are traders here. Incidentally, in the hadith there we find many, 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 many virtues for those people that are traders. One place is mentioned that that trader that does not wish to create, does not wish that his items will be expensive upon the mu'mineen, he will also be given a secure. In other words, he takes into cognizance the position of the people that come to him, and he is very considerate as far as his customers are concerned, and he does not wish, لَا يَتَيَمَنَّ الْغَلَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, he does not wish to make things expensive for the Muslim clients. He also, for him, there's a place in the shade of arsh, in the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. That Muslim trader, man ishtara wa ba'a wa la yaqulu illa haqqan, that person that buys and sells and is extremely truthful in his buying and selling, for him also there's a place, this place is given to him. That person that gives respite to a person that's undergoing difficulty, you have a customer, he cannot pay you on time, you give him respite. Man anzara mu'siran, you don't relieve him of the debt, but you just give him respite, you give him time to pay, that person is also included. That person that forgives the person, that gives him, not only gives him respite, but he overlooks that debt and saying, you are unable to pay me, for him also there is a shade, for there is a place in the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. That person that gives sadaqah and charity to his poor customer, he also is, for him there is a place in the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. That person that has mercy on the believers, that person also is a shade in the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person that reads 2 rakats of salat after the maghrib salat, and it mentioned that in each rakat he reads 25 times, Qul huwallahu ahad, he also is included in this category of people. That person that reads the 3 ayats of Surah In'am in the morning, from Alhamdulillah, alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard, bima kanu yaksibun till day, after the Fajr Salat or at the time of the Fajr Salat, he also is included in this category of people. That person that is sick, in one riwayat is mentioned, al-marid, that person that is sick, he also will be given that place. That person that is overwhelmed with grief, he will also be given that place in the day of judgment. That person that takes away the calamity of a Muslim brother, and together with that he practices the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sends durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for him also is a place in the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person, some amal are extremely simple here. That person that feeds the person that's hungry, he feeds him till he's full. That person that feeds the person that is hungry and he feeds him to his full, that person also will get the shade, in the place in the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some actions, they are extremely simple. One riwayat is mentioned, that person that learned the Quran when he was a young person and he recites it when he grows old, for him also is that place in the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are many, many actions here we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his infinite mercy will grant a place to those people that carry out these actions in the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day when there will be no other shade besides the shade of the arsh of Allah, and on that day when there will be extreme and intense heat of the sun, never to be experienced like that before or after. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all this exalted position on the day of judgment. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.